Our reading is different from that published. I'm not quite sure why, but Sheila's prepared on Genesis and chapter 22. So towards the beginning of your Bibles, if you've got your pew Bibles, I'm sorry I haven't got a page. Genesis 22, beginning to read at verse 19, this wonderful story from the Old Testament. Pardon?
Verse 1.
Thank you. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through you, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants and they set off for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning. We ask your blessing on us and pray that you will speak into our hearts through everything that we're doing here. Just touch us where we need to be touched this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. An interesting passage, that one, isn't it? It always makes me a little bit, you know, a little bit like that. Goodness me, God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. I can't even bear to think about putting myself in that position, could you? Just unbelievable, isn't it? Sacrifice your son. But you know, that passage has an incredible amount to teach us about following God, about his trustworthiness in every situation. I've picked out three things to highlight. I actually picked out an awful lot more, but I thought you wouldn't want to be here all morning. So I'll touch on just three particular things. The first thing I want to talk about this morning is that Abraham heard God. And he continually heard God speaking throughout his life. His relationship with God was there. It was real. It happened. It was part of his life and how he lived it every day. You know, Abraham, while he was still called Abram, was told by God that he would become a great nation. And he believed that. He went with his wife to where God told him to go. They just up sticks, left everything they knew, took their stuff, and off they went to be where God told them to go. Later, we have him discussing with God in a dream. And the conversation went something like this. Abraham says to God, "How can I become a great nation? I have no children." God told him he would have. And it just simply says, Abraham believed him. But it was difficult for him when it didn't happen. He was human too, you know. God has promised me this, I've believed him, and it's not happening. And he and Sarah were getting very much older, well past the time when they would have children. Do you think he ever said, "Did I hear right?" I'm sure he did, because we all would, wouldn't we? Did I hear that right? In fact, he tried to sort it out in his own way. And he had a child with a servant. But God didn't get cross with him and say, "You stupid man, you shouldn't have done that. You should just have believed me." God just went on telling him that Sarah would have a child. They laughed at that because really they were past it by then. But all this happened. Isaac was born. So in this part, we have God speaking to Abraham in several ways. Did you notice that? He spoke the word to him. He spoke in a vision or a dream. Later on, the bit I haven't talked about is some visitors came to tell him that he was going to have a child. He believed them as well. Who were they, I wonder? He listened and he believed, no matter how God spoke to him. Through word, through vision, through people. He believed. So what about us? Do we hear God speaking? Are we close enough even to hear him or to listen? I know many times God has spoken to me, as I'm sure he has to all of you. But I'm sure there are also many times when I miss it because I haven't listened properly. But you know, when you really know it's God speaking to you, you can't turn away from it. No way. He won't let you. He just keeps saying it, like he kept saying to Abraham, "You are going to have a child. You are going to be a great nation." It's a big challenge for us, that, isn't it? It's always a challenge for me to hear, to listen to God and what he has to say. And if you're not used to that, if you're not used to God speaking or listening to him, that's a challenge again, isn't it? Ask him. Ask him to speak to you and then listen. And you know, no matter what he says, you can always talk about it with other people and check it out if you're a bit worried about things he might be saying. We have each other. That's the point. We can help each other with this. So when this latest word came, Abraham knew it was God, because he knew his voice. "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering." You know, there was no misunderstanding really what God was saying there. He actually said it three times, didn't he? "Take your son, your only son, Isaac." It was pretty obvious who he was talking about, wasn't it? The next verse says, "Early next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, took his son and went." No arguments. I think I would have argued. Maybe he had a sleepless night, who knows? But Abraham was actually facing the biggest test of his life. And that's the second point I wanted to think of, because testing in any way is not easy for us. A lot of years ago now, we lived in Bristol. My daughters were born there. We lived just on the edge of Bristol. And where our house was, a lovely house in a lovely place, but we were on the test path for the Filton Airport, you know, where they build the aeroplanes. And we were on the test path. And guess what they were testing while we lived there? Concorde, which was amazing, because Concorde was forever flying over our house. And when people came to stay, they were saying, will we see Concorde? And how will we know it's coming? Do we have to watch it a certain time? No, you can hear it coming. You don't have to even think about it. You knew when Concorde was on its way. Testing is hard and it's noisy sometimes as well. But in our own lives, we're not very fussed on testing, are we? We don't want it. But does God have to check sometimes that we can take the pace and keep trusting him no matter what? Abraham passed his test because he trusted. When they reached the place, he told his servants who were with him to wait while he and the boy went to worship. And did you notice the next few words of that verse? It said, and then they would come back to them. You have to think about that, don't you? He said, you stay there, we'll go on. And he told God he would do it. But yet he said that they would come back to them. That's about trust, isn't it? Trust. Because he was willing to go through with it. We see that. When Isaac asked what they were going to sacrifice, God answered him that God himself would provide the lamb. What faith and what trust he had, didn't he? Does that remind you of God's sacrifice of his son, the Lamb of God? I'm not going to talk about that very much this morning, because that's one of the things I could go away off on. But it's a thought to leave with us, isn't it? We know, and we'll be talking about in a second, that Abraham was rescued from doing that horrendous deed. But God did sacrifice his son Jesus for us. He went through with it. Jesus died. We know that he died for us, but we also know that he rose again, bringing an end to such a lot in this world. Abraham went all the way, as did Isaac. He wasn't a baby at the time. But of course, God did provide. So that's our point. Point three. An angel spoke from heaven. An angel again. Do you look out for angels? They're very real. The Bible tells us that sometimes we entertain angels unaware. I think that's true. Have you got stories about seeing and hearing angels? If you have, tell them to each other. It does encourage us to look out for this and see God at work in so, so many ways. I have a couple of stories that I have about angels, and I'm sure you have, and I've heard many more. We were in the Middle East, in Israel actually, and working one summer when we were training for Church Army. And we were going, working at a Muslim village, doing a holiday club for children, one in the morning. Then we were travelling to a place called Nablus, so you might have heard for it. It's all in the middle of the troubled areas. And we were going into a Muslim home and talking English to these people so they could learn some English. And each day somebody took us to this place in Nablus, and then we got a taxi back because the father used to take us in his police car to the bus to the station to get the taxi back, because you travelled by taxi. Not beautiful taxis, you know. They shouldn't have been on the road if we were over here. But one day this lady couldn't take us all the way. She had a dental appointment, but she said, if I just drop you at the end of the road, just hail a taxi, which we were used to doing, and it'll take and go to Nablus. So we did this, we got out, We were literally in the middle of nowhere. We were on a road and there wasn't a house or anything in sight. The only thing we could see in the far distance was a Jewish watchtower type post with men with guns on it. So we was there and we hailed a taxi. It was red hot, over 40 degrees, and it didn't stop. We hailed the next one, didn't stop. And so it went on and they were empty, but they didn't stop. And we thought, what on earth's going on here? And then we realised, you see, the taxis in that area were all Palestinian and they didn't know who we were. We don't look Palestinian, do we? We could have been Jewish, which they wouldn't have had at any cost at that time. And it was just really hard. Days before mobile phones, you know, we were stuck in the middle of this hot place. And we just prayed, Lord, we don't know what to do. We're just stuck here. We didn't know where we were or what to do. A moment later, a man came across the road. Now, as I've said, there was nothing around. There was nowhere for him to come from. He was very smartly dressed, like a businessman. And he came across the road, and he went to passers-by, and then he said, where are you going? And we said, well, we're trying to go to Nablus, but we can't get the taxis to stop. And he spoke to us in English, interesting. And he said, well, where are you from? And we said, England. He said, okay. And he stopped. The next taxi that came along, he stopped. No, it wasn't even a taxi, was it? The next car that came along, he stopped. And he looked in and he said, take these people to Nablus. We got in the car and he got in with us and took us to Nablus and just dropped us and that was it. Now, was that an angel or was that God's provision? I don't mind which it was, but it was one of those, wasn't it? It was one of those. And I know we've seen an angel outside the church, because when we were starting spots a long time ago, we started, and the high street was really busy, and it was great. And then the high street went really quiet. It was a time when a lot of shops closed, wasn't there? And we thought, well, should we be here? Should we not be further down the road, down there, or should we be in Morrison's? And as we were praying about it, one of our members had a picture of an angel standing outside the church. And she tried to move this angel down the road to see where we should go. The angel was not for moving. We had to stay outside our church. Interesting little things. I bet you've got lots of stories. Do you remember Michael Taylor had stories about angels when he was here, our vicar, a while ago? It's interesting. You could look out for them because they're God's way sometimes of answering our prayers, of touching our lives. But back to Abraham. The angel said to Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. It's really quite remarkable, isn't it? Because Abraham was standing with a knife above his son, ready to kill him. And the angel stopped him at that point. Doesn't God sometimes leave it to the last minute? And you know, Isaac himself could have got up and gone. He wasn't a child. You know, he wasn't really tiny then. And his father was an old man. He could have done a runner, really, couldn't he? Abraham looked up and a ram was caught by its horns. So he sacrificed it to God. And he called the place, the Lord will provide. The next message was assuring Abraham of God's blessing and his many descendants again. I love the end of verse 14, which says, and to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. That's my final point. Have you seen God's provision in your life? I know I have so many times, and I'm so thankful for it. In so many, many different ways, you know. Yes, it's things when I'm in need of things. It has been over the years as God's ministered to us as a family while we were working with Youth for Christ particularly, and money was very tight at that time. But it's always been there. God has never failed. And I can say that as I've walked with Jesus, he's provided everything I've needed when I've needed it. And it's not just about things, it's about dealing with all that life brings to us, which can sometimes be easy, can't it? Sometimes it can be jolly hard. But God wants us to be there wants us to know he's there, and he wants us to trust him to walk through every single situation. It's learning to trust him and see him at work in all things. So what's our challenge from this lovely story this morning that still scares me a bit when I read it? Perhaps it's about listening to God in whatever way he speaks to us. Or maybe about doing the things he asks of us, even if they do seem a bit scary. And I know they do a lot of the time. Or maybe it's increasing our trust in him every day and what life brings for us. Let's have a prayer together. Let's pray. God our Father, we do thank you for that amazing story of Abraham and his amazing trust in you and your provision for him. And we pray, Lord, that you will work in our lives. Help us to listen. Help us to hear your word, to believe, to trust you and obey you as Abraham did. Help us to look for you in everything we do, every day. Help us to remember and practice that presence of you with us every moment. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.